Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Sing Jesus, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Just take a minute and allow your imagination to partner with the Spirit of God. Begin to see yourself laying hands on sick people and seeing them healed. Begin to see yourself leading people in the prayer of salvation. Begin to see yourself opening the Bible and showing people that believe lies truth. Begin to see yourself being the hands and the feet of Jesus. Begin to see yourself proclaiming His goodness. Begin to see your life in order. Begin to see your family coming to know Him in greater ways. Begin to see you giving money to every good work. Begin to see yourself doing that. Just allow your imagination to run wild with the Spirit of the Lord. See yourself laying hands on the sick and them recovering. See yourself laying hands on the dead and them living. See yourself as one that goes forth with an invitation to life on their lips. Stop believing lies about yourself. See yourself the way your Father sees you. So Lord, we ask for dreams and visions to be birthed in this place in our hearts. That we would see ourselves as you see us. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We say, come and take the reward of your suffering. We want to bring you an offering of people that have come to know you. Sing Jesus, 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 Jesus. Sing Jesus, Jesus. One more thing that the Lord wants to work through this morning with us. And I'm having a little trouble finding the words, but I'm going to try. And it's this, it's that. Some of us have believed a lie that it's prideful to think that we can lay hands on people and see the Lord move. We've somehow thought that that was a expression of us believing that we are full of ourselves. And I feel like the Lord's saying, no, to do my will is the highest form of humility. To do the things that I've called you to do is actually the highest form of humility. To stand among hundreds or thousands of people and declare who I am isn't pride. It's the highest form of humility. So if that's you, if you've been caught up in feeling like believing that the Lord can work through you is prideful, just repent. Father, we repent for believing the lie. And we receive humility to do exactly what you ask us to do in every moment. We take the road where you're in charge and we're not. And so, Lord, we pray for opportunities to arise where we can step out with you and see you move in the world around us. Sing Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sing Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Go ahead.
Can we
Sure, go ahead.
In the last 2 weeks, my son is a manager at a grocery store. It blends in with what you were saying about laying hands on people. And he was, as soon as he walked in, one of the workers came to him and he said, "There's somebody dead in the men's room." So he quick ran in. They could hear his radio playing, but no other music or no other sound. And so he broke the door down and he went in and he heard the Lord say, "Put your hand on his shoulder." So he said, "That's all I did. I put my hand on his shoulder by his neck." And he said, "Then we called 911 and he said they went in there and they were working on him and they heard he's alive.
Awesome.
And praise the Lord. And I have almost the same story in my book where the Lord just told me to touch somebody. And the next day the man said, "I thought I was dead and she was an angel."
So, Father, we thank you for the testimony, and we just thank you that you can do it again, and do it again in each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, everyone. Thank you for singing. I could hear you. It was great. Just pressing in and worshiping the Lord. I know some of the songs were a little wordy. If you don't know, there's words over there. If you don't care, that's fine. I'll do what I can to get through the words vocally. Coming up, we have a couple of things. The first one is the do-it-yourself birdhouse event. Now, if you haven't signed up,
you can't.
The event is full. We'd love to invite you to come out and hang out and eat and watch people build birdhouses. If you really, really, really wanted to build a birdhouse, I'm sure there's some people that would sell their space. You know, or trade. Or may just show you the love of the Lord and say, "Oh, you build the birdhouse. You build the birdhouse. It's your calling. Mine is to..."
Scalpers out front.
Proceeds go to
Keystone Opportunity Center. So today was the last day, right? Today was the last day to bring things in. We did pretty good. We filled the counter. If you forgot and you're having conviction,
we're not able to bring it to them until next Monday. If you're coming to the birdhouse thing and you forgot, then...
So you have one more week. It's a reprieve of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then after that, I'm sure they'll take your cash if you want to give. So, sorry, my announcement's turned off. Hey, we have a family meal after the service on March 21st. Mark your calendars to be here that day. And then the offering is in the back. We're trying not to put a big focus on the offering during this season. If the Lord has put on your heart to help us pay the bills around here, please do. We're so grateful for you guys. And, you know, from my own life, giving has unlocked a lot of things. So it's not a big offering pep talk. We don't want to manipulate you, but just pray and ask the Lord how he would have you partner with us. And for the time being, continue to make the checks out to Rock. We're still working through that with the state, with the doing business as the well. So, hey, let's talk books. There's this great book called Walking in the Spirit by someone you all know and love. And she's back there. She'll sign it for you. I don't know if you have copies with you today, but you can also get an ebook on Amazon. It's a great book. Some guy said Jerry's life has been an amazing adventure with the Holy Spirit. The stories in this book will inspire you to lean in and experience all God has for you. It's a quote right on the back by some guy. And so I'm going to invite Bob to come up and speak today. Bob's going to be sharing with us. Let's pray again. So, Father, we thank you for bringing Bob here to help with what you're doing. We thank you for the sounds he releases and the other things that you've put in his heart that we'll see in the future. We just pray, Lord, right now that what he has in his heart would come across clear, that we would be earth and soil ready to receive the seed that you've put in him to share today. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So there's something that the Lord put on my heart, and a few weeks ago, but I kind of felt like it wasn't finished. And earlier in the week, I was at work and I was reading over it and just praying about it. And I decided to listen to Pastor Matt's message from last week. And he touched on Acts chapter 12. And when I heard him read this, you know, on the podcast, I felt like that this is what I was looking for. This is what I needed to really kind of put all this stuff together. And Acts 5, chapter 12, it says, "At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders, attesting miracles, were continually taking place among the people. And by common consent, they all met together at the temple in the covered porch called Solomon's Portico." And, you know, I asked myself, well, who was doing the miracles? It was the apostles. The apostles were doing the miracles. And among the people, some of the versions have believers. You know, I'm not trying to put labels on where anybody is or, you know, the differences between apostles and believers. I'm not trying to put any labels on anybody. But I believe that between a believer and apostle is just a heart condition. It's just where your heart is and your desire for more. And I looked at the definition of a believer is an adherent or a supporter of a particular religion, someone with religious faith. And an apostle says that one sent on a mission, such as one of an authoritative New Testament group sent out to preach the gospel and made up especially of Christ's 12 original disciples and Paul. A person who initiates a great moral reform or who first advocates important beliefs or systems. And it just kind of really fell in place to what the scriptures that I want to talk about today. And for me, I believe an apostle is someone who is just so sold out on the love of Jesus that they just can't contain it. That someone whose heart's desire is to live in their sonship or their daughtership, and then we let our life blossom from there. So the scripture from today was actually a scripture I got. I was on Facebook, and there was just a caption, and it said it's one of the most difficult or one of the most trying scriptures in the Bible. It was a guy that does videos. He does like seminars and things where people, whether they're atheists or Christians or whatever, in between, they come to him and they ask him questions, and he's very, very knowledgeable about the Bible, what the Bible says. And the scripture is Luke chapter 12, verse 48. So I'm going to read 42 to 48, and we're going to talk about the last part of 48. So 42 says, "The Lord said, 'Who then is the faithful and the wise steward of the estate, whom his master will put in charge over his household to give his servants their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed, happy, prosperous, to be admired is the servant whom his master finds so doing when he arrives. I surely and most solemnly say to you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is taking his time in coming, and begins to beat the servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him into pieces," which does not sound very fun, "and assign him to a place with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will, and yet did not get ready or act in accord with his will be beaten with many lashes of the whip." Also doesn't sound very good. "But the one who did not know it and did things worthy of a beating will receive only a few lashes." So this is the part that I want to share with you today. "From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." Which puts a lot of responsibility on sons and daughters. A good responsibility. And I think when we read scriptures like this, you know, this one in particular, we can sometimes tend to draw a line. I think that a scripture like this that puts that responsibility on us can scare us a little bit. You know, maybe some of the things that we do start to be a little questionable, you know, to our Christian faith, things that we do outside of the church and in our quiet time, and maybe it starts to convict us a little bit. But it may make us feel a little bit guilty. And we draw this line with God, you know, that we're good right where we are, and we know that He loves us, He knows that He blesses us, and we know that we love Him. And sometimes I think we want all the benefits from being on one side of the fence and all the responsibility from the other side of the fence. So the scripture is really, I believe, a turning point in our lives to whom much has been given. I think that includes all of us. We've been given this life, which is a lot. We've been given our salvation, which is a lot. We've been given much. And, you know, much will be required. You know, when we pray for revelations or finances or healings or breakthroughs, whether it's for ourselves or somebody else or anything that we go to God with, He responds to us by giving. We all have been really given much. And then it says, whom has been entrusted much, of him they will ask more. We've been entrusted with His kingdom, to bring His kingdom to earth. You know, sometimes if you wonder why people seem to be attracted to you for, you know, advice or for help or for, you know, maybe opinions, you know, I believe that this is why. I believe that we've been put in a position to reveal heaven on earth. And in the spirit, whether people realize it or not, they're going to be attracted to what their spirit longs for. And if that's something that you have in your spirit, they're going to be attracted to you. And I think we need to cross this line. I think we need to be a people that is just so sold out on the love of Jesus that we want to see Him more. We want to see heaven on earth. We just want to seek His face in all the things that we do. And, you know, when we're in this place of maybe contentment, you know, what we don't realize is that when we cross over, and it's just the beginning. The things we feel matter a lot isn't what matters most. We hold our relationship with Jesus in check sometimes, because we don't want to give certain things up. But what we don't realize is that what we give up that matters, what we don't realize that it's not what we give up that matters, but what God replaces it with is so much greater and so much more fulfilling and so much more amazing. Luke chapter 7, verses 12 to 15. It says, now as he approached the city gate, a dead man being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her in the funeral procession. When the Lord saw her, he felt great compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came and he touched the bier on which the body rested, and the pallbearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise from death." And the man who was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. The key word here in this scripture I wrote down was compassion. Having the heart of Jesus, his compassion and his desire to do the will of the Father, lives are just transformed. When we let Jesus have all of our hearts, it aligns our hearts with His and puts us into situations, and He'll put us in these situations to reveal Him and His compassion. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 8, says, as Jesus went into Capernaum, a centurion came up to Him begging Him for help and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed with intense and terrible torment and pain." Jesus said to him, "I will come to him and heal him." But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go and it will be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was restored to health at that very hour. Be willing to drop what you're doing to do the Father's work. I wrote that down, just little notes that I write down when I read different scriptures. Verses 14 to 16 says, when Jesus went into Peter's house in Capernaum, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left, and she got up and served him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he cast out all the evil spirits with a word, and he restored to health all that were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah. So he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases. And I wrote down, let his work be first in all times, and be the one that they flock to. You know, Jesus was in the house, and they heard he was in the house, and everybody flocked to him to, you know, for healing and for freedom, really, and for their breakthroughs and are things that were really tormenting them. You know, we get to be the ones that they flock to. We get to be, Christians, Christ-like, little Christ-like people. Be the one to put yourself out there and love like he loves. To be unashamed to be a son and daughter of God who is love. John chapter 5. Verses 5 through 9. There was a certain man there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, knowing that he had been sent in that condition or had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, do you want to get well? The invalid answered, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm coming to get into it myself, someone else steps down ahead of me. Jesus said, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. Immediately the man was healed and recovered his strength and picked up his pallet and walked. Be intentional. Jesus went to the pool with the intention to do his Father's will. Every time he went anywhere, you know, we read in the scriptures, anytime he went anywhere, it was always with an intention, with a purpose, with the intention to reveal heaven on earth. You know, I believe we can be intentional too. Wherever we go, we could release this same heaven on earth, and we could go with a purpose. And it doesn't really matter, you know, where it is. It could be a grocery store. It could be at work. It could be at school. It could be whatever it is that we're doing. We can go there with an intention to do the Father's will with whatever he puts in our path. And you know, what does this look like? What does it look like, you know, when we have that heart and when we press into it, our relationship with God just a little bit more, and we decide that we want that little bit more and a little bit more, and we decide that we want to cross over this bridge, so to speak, you know, and enter into our created purpose. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, addictions are overcome, sickness and the disease are destroyed. You know, if we take a second, just think of all the people that we come in contact with on a daily basis, you know, that need us to really to cross over this bridge and to cross over in the more. Think of all the people that will thrive and reign in this life when we do cross over into this kingdom life, when we're compassionate and willing and intentional about loving others. We release heaven on earth. We release the heart of God into people's lives. We represent, or Todd White likes to say, represent Jesus and reveal him to people. Whether they're Christian or atheist or somewhere in between, you know, they meet him. You know, like our goal should be that when people meet us, they meet him. And sometimes they're meeting him for the first time. And that's good. It's okay. It's exciting. Yeah, they meet his compassion and his love and his goodness and his willingness to meet him. You know, he wants to meet them where they are and love them for who he created them to be. When we were at the other location, the Rock Church, I had left there to do an internship in Allentown. And I met a fellow there. We had what we called a Timothy house. A Timothy house was like a recovery house. And the beds are pretty full. Some of these guys are older gentlemen, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, with a lot of conditions that, you know, health conditions and a long, long life of drug use. And one guy in particular, I called him my partner in crime, we would go out to the streets and pray for people. We would, I mean, spend hours and hours and hours, you know, sometimes once or twice a week with my work schedule at the time. And I had bought Bibles, and I would take a backpack, and I'd have it filled with Bibles. And it was easier for him. This guy would just, it was amazing how he could just talk about Jesus to anybody that he met. Without, like, you could be the angriest looking person on the street, and he would say, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" And just start talking to them. And they're like, "Nah, man, leave me alone. No, you know Jesus, you know? I was the same place as you." And just start going and going and going. I was like, wow, it was just an inspiration to see somebody like that. But, you know, we've seen people, you know, change. We've seen that transformation. We planted those seeds. And we went out with that intention, with that purpose, with a purpose to go out there and for people to meet Jesus. And, you know, we do the best that we can. And it was a lot easier for him. He spoke Spanish and English. Sometimes I would just kind of sit there and, you know, hope for a little bit of a touch to understand the Spanish that he was speaking. But, you know, it never worked out that way, but it was okay. But it was something different than you know, putting other people first. There was a heart change that really put into perspective that life is bigger than just us. It is bigger than just me and my family and my friends. It's, you know, people need me to want more. People need you to want more. You know, when we want that more and we have that desire for more, you know, people's lives will change, you know. In Luke 15, verse 7, it says, "I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven for one sinner who repents over the 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance." You know, this is the parable of the lost sheep. This might not be your favorite story of the Bible. It might not be the the most important or the biggest story in the Bible, but it might be the biggest story in the Bible if you're the one. You know, having a heart for the one, to be intentional with the purpose, to speak to the one. And we get to tell those we meet that he is willing to leave everything to find them and to save them. And, you know, we get the opportunity to hopefully do that with him. And I'm going to close with Romans chapter 2, verse 4. "Or do you have no regard for the wealth of his kindness and his tolerance and his patience in withholding his wrath? Are you actually unaware or ignorant of the fact that God's kindness leads you to repentance? That is, to change your inner self and your old way of thinking. Seek his purpose for your life." It's not us arguing with people's choices or condemning them or making them feel ashamed or guilty for where they are in life that leads them to that repentance. It's his goodness and his kindness. Some versions say goodness, some versions say kindness. We are people who need God. How are people who need God going to see his goodness and his kindness? It's in us. His sons and his daughters. You know, if you want to label it apostles, if we choose to seek more and take our believing faith and turn it into the kingdom. You know, he lives in us. You know, how we receive them where they are and love them, that shows his kindness and his goodness. We show them the goodness of God, and he takes care of the rest. So that's what I have. I just want to encourage people, you know, all of us, to love intentionally, to love with a purpose, to love with his compassion for his children. This is, you know, one of the biggest things that changed my walk with Christ was years ago. I wasn't married to my wife at the time, but we were having issues, and I had always lived a life where it was what can people do for me, you know, and I knew God, and I knew, you know, it was just a life that I got in such a habit that that's where I was. And I was listening to an Andrew Womack teaching on how Jesus loves us. And I was at work. I was working like night shift, 12 hours. And something just hit me. And I was like, wow. I was like floored at work, like borderline crying at work. And I'm like, I got to hold myself together. I got like another 10 hours to go, you know. I got to hold this together here. But, you know, it changed my life to where, you know, I can love better. You know, and I love with that intention, and I love with that compassion, and you know, sometimes you get angry. You know, my son deals with some addiction issues, and so many times, like, I'm not angry at him, I'm angry at this addiction and what it's doing to him, but, you know, I want to have that compassion to understand that he's hurting and he's in trouble. And the way I fight that is through my relationship with Jesus. That you know, I wake up and my prayers are intentional, and my prayers have purpose, you know, to release people from what it is that they're suffering from. So I just want to encourage you to love with compassion and be intentional with this love, and just put his will first and foremost everywhere we go. So I'd like to pray for you guys, if that's okay. Father, I just thank you for your heart for your children, Lord, no matter where they are in their life and what situations that they're in, what situations they have to come out of, Father. I just want to ask that you open our hearts to be more intentional, to speak your love, your compassion, and your heart over others' lives, no matter what it is, that we just take a second and stop rushing through life. And maybe go a little bit early to the grocery store to get some of the stuff that we need in case we encounter somebody that you put us there to encounter, Father. So we just ask that you open our hearts to receive and to understand and just to love like you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well right here. I'm digging a well in the valley of my